We are taught that patience is a virtue, but I have come to realize that it is also a weakness. More often than not, a thing must be done now. Bronzo of Ix. The small ship arrived on Wallach 9 carrying workers, visitors, and four sisters wearing traditional black robes and uniforms, designating low to mid-rank. These four had no particular importance. Their travel documents were in order, and they attracted no attention. But they were not what they appeared to be. Also among the passengers, segregated from the sisters, were three men who had been assigned to the mother school as temporary gardeners. Bene Gesserit acolytes usually tended the courtyards and gardens, but outsiders were brought in for specialized activities. After exiting, the four sisters casually wandered among the crowd at the spaceport near the school complex. The trio of quiet gardeners waited their turn, leaving the ship last, moving to the cargo claim area where they picked up their tools. Giving no sign that they recognized each other, they joined up with the four women. Bronzo had waited a great many years for this, and now he would wait no longer. The pieces had finally fallen into place. Shortly after the death of his father, Bronzo had petitioned for the return of his comatose mother from the sisterhood's medical advisors and was flatly turned down. Later, when Tessie Avernius emerged from her years of unconsciousness and managed to smuggle a message to him, he had learned the truth. As Earl Vernius of Ix, Bronzo again asked for her release and was ignored. He then filed a complaint with the Landsrod, but the nobles would take no direct action to free Tessia, claiming that she was a grown woman and a sister of the Order herself. Bronzo hadn't had the wealth, influence, or military might to take any action. When Jessica gave him her report 7 years ago, she had told him little that he hadn't already known. All the while, he had never stopped thinking of his trapped mother, never stopped searching for a way to get her out of the clutches of the Bene Gesserit. Now, after being on the run for years, he had managed to slip a few face dancer infiltrators onto Wallach 9, if only briefly, and his spies had discovered the information he needed to know, where his mother was, and the security arrangements surrounding her. All that remained was to implement a plan. The four sisters and the other two men with him were face dancers. His face dancers. As the visitors walked to the garden area near the outbuilding where Bronzo knew Tessia was being held, one of the sisters signaled the three gardeners. "Bring your tools and prepare for a hard day's work. You have only a little time to complete your job." Bronzo and the other two men followed meekly, behaving exactly the way the Bene Gesserits expected them to. The mother school gardens were a parade of spectacular colors, with geometrically laid out shrubberies at odds with wild and unruly botanical displays. Mother Superior Harishka, so it was said, had a penchant for exotic flora harvested from other planets. Such unique plants required a great deal of maintenance and specialized care, which could be provided only by off-world experts. Bronzo and his incognito crew had come ostensibly to replant a failed botanical area where the rugged native plants from Grand Hain had all died and needed to be replaced with something else. Dump boxes had been dropped from orbit ahead of time, filled with carefully harvested mosses, mulch, and chemically precise fertilizers for a new species line. Another armored dump box, ready to be resealed for retrieval, waited outside the dead area, filled with the leftover and obsolete Grand Hain fertilizers and mulch, which would be shipped away. The men worked for hours under the supervision of their companion sisters, who acted appropriately aloof around mere laborers. Not once did the face dancers let their disguises slip. They were all true professionals, true performers, and perfectly content to carry out a tense and complicated assignment that did not require assassination. Bronzo and the two workers moved in perfect harmony, excavating dead plants, digging trenches, turning over the soil and adding the chemical fertilizers as if it were merely another dance for them, even if no one watched their show. During those agonizing hours, Bronzo cast surreptitious glances toward the outbuildings, saw whirlwinds whipping up, great gusting breezes that rattled the tall skeletal trees, winds strong enough to scatter pebbles. A cluster of transient tornadoes circled one particular building, eerie dust devils and pale swirling winds that appeared and disappeared. His face dancer spies had reported strange weather disturbances in the vicinity of Tessia's conservatory, but they could provide no explanation. A few capricious winds were not going to bother him. He had waited years for this. Finally, the time was nearing. As the day progressed, the work brought them closer to Tessia's building, where medical sisters prodded her, tested her, tried to understand how she had independently recovered from the guilt casting. The face dancer sisters spread out and busied themselves with supposedly important activities. Nobody had paid attention to their group all day. Bronzo had seen to it that the proper papers were filed in the proper places. The teams moved the large dump box that contained obsolete mulch material. In the gloaming, at the daylight's most uncertain point, two male workers opened the dump box and removed some of the mulch to create a makeshift nest. From their supply canisters, they swiftly removed thermal insulation, a breather pack, airtight clothes, sealants. Bronzo's heart pounded. He could feel cold sweat beading on his forehead and dripping down his back as he approached the conservatory building, supposedly to inspect the shrubberies. The strong, random winds gusted again, and shingles on the building fluttered and rattled. A spray of dust and minor debris hissed against the outside walls. Then the door opened, and Tessia stood there in front of him. She looked older. Her face was gaunt, but her eyes were bright, her lips drawn back in a smile. "I got your message in the family code, Bronzo. Very clever. I'm ready to go." He had so much to say to her, but that would come in time, if they succeeded in escaping. There were lost years to recapture in words and memories, too many experiences to describe in fragments. They would start anew. "There is danger getting you out of here, Mother. Are you sure?" "If I escape or if I die, either way I won't spend another moment under their control. Humans can endure many things, Bronzo, as you know by now. But I am through enduring their abuses." The blurred funnel of one of the transparent tornadoes appeared behind her, and a second gained strength, but Tessia seemed unconcerned. The whirlwinds circled and dissipated as she hurried over to the waiting dump box. The face dancers clustered close to shield her from view. "It will be uncomfortable, Mother, but it's the only way." "I'm no stranger to discomfort." Tessia applied the breather to her face, wrapped herself in the thermal shielding, and climbed into the mulch. The face dancer workers connected the life support systems and gave Tessia instructions. Her voice was muffled through the face mask, but her eyes never left Bronzo's.
"I will put myself into a trance and wait as long as is necessary."
As the conspirators worked, the tornadoes appeared and reappeared, seeming to gain strength until the group began to attract the attention of other Bene Gesserits, but the face dancer women moved in to intercept them. As soon as the dump box was sealed and Tessia secured, the tornadoes vanished. The air fell still. They moved the dump box and all their materials and equipment with as much furtive haste as possible. Bronzo's heart did not stop racing until they were safely away from Wallach 9.